We're glad that you're joining with us for this time of worship and praise and adoration to God. We're going to begin the service tonight by singing together 215. We're going to watch the congregation from the past singing this beautiful hymn, "Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride, Caring Not My Lord Was Crucified, Knowing Not It Was For Me He Died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul find liberty at Calvary." Let's listen to the words and sing with the congregation and worship God tonight. Let's stand and sing. Let's go and sing. With that note of tremendous encouragement, we're going to bow together in prayer. Let us pray. Our eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Lord's Day, the day that God has given, and we thank Thee for the seasons of worship that can continue here in the house of God and with our congregation listening in on the internet. We thank Thee that in our approach to the throne of grace, we come the blood-sprinkled way, the way that God has provided for us as guilty, hell-deserving sinners to come, but sinners saved by grace and now standing upon redemption ground. We plead the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that whatsoever we ask in His name, it shall be done. And Lord, we're asking tonight for Your blessing to attend this gathering. Want the Lord to be here. Want to sense and feel the fullness of Thy presence tonight as we conduct this service in every part. Thank Thee for this opening hymn that has led us to Calvary. Thank thee for that day when Jesus was taken there, crucified for our sins. Thank thee that he died for us as our substitute, taking our place fully, bearing our sin completely, taking upon him the wrath of God that we might escape that wrath. We thank thee that for the true believer we will never see hell, for Jesus has borne that on our behalf. We thank thee that we can say tonight that we're saved, saved by grace alone, saved from our sin, saved from the penalty of sin, the consequences of sin. Oh, hallelujah, tonight we're going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God, hallelujah. Our hope and our heart is set upon those things which are above. We pray that as we conduct this service tonight, that you will bless the singing of the hymns that we listen to, and bless the reading and the preaching of your word. We thank thee that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And though we are restricted in many ways in these days of the coronavirus, we thank thee that your word is not bound. Your word is not restricted. We can still be a witness. We can still tell others about the Savior. We can still conduct these services and have our preaching times. We can still lead others to see Jesus Christ as the Savior of men. I want to be faithful tonight. I pray that thou wilt help me when I come to the preaching of the word, to present clearly the issues of the gospel, what a man needs to do. We pray that those who sit and listen at home who are not saved will sit up and listen attentively and carefully to your word. The Lord Jesus Christ has told us that we are to take heed to how we hear. And Lord, we know there needs to be good hearing. We're not only to listen carefully to what is being said, but we are to take heed to it, give attention to it, act upon it. And Lord, we pray that the word of God will not go in one ear and out through the other, but Lord, may it go in one ear and down into the heart, where it will do its work, the convicting power, the convincing power, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're asking tonight, Lord. We pray that conversions will result in this time of gospel preaching, that sinners will be converted to Christ. Lord, speak, for Lord, your servants hear us. We want to hear the voice of God tonight. Open up your word, therefore, and make it clear and plain to every waiting heart. Thank thee for the Lord's redeemed people. Bless them, Lord, just where they are. Thank thee for those that you have put your healing touch upon. Some, Lord, have had visits to the hospital, but, Lord, they've got out of hospital and they're making progress. And strengthen them, we pray. Some, Lord, are still lying in a bed of sickness and they need your continual touch upon their lives. We remember them. We think of the sorrowing tonight, that thou wilt comfort them in the midst of sorrow. We know that in this world there are many tribulations and trials and troubles to face. It's a valley of tears. But we praise thee that our God one day will wipe away all tears from our eyes and there'll be no more sorrow. We look forward to that day. And so, Father, we pray for your help and blessing now as we continue with this service in Jesus' name. Amen. We're further singing to the praise of God the hymn 239. This hymn is all about the blood of Christ from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for thee. Please think the words over in your mind and heart. If you can, sing along with them, but let the truths of these verses of the hymn do you good. Think of the marvelous truth as we stand to sing. Thank you.
unaccompanied without the piano and the organ, and then we'll come back to the music for the seventh verse. Precious blood, by this we conquer.
That hymn, didn't we, tonight, just to sing about the blood of the Saviour, the precious, precious blood of Jesus. I don't know what you did at home, but I was singing along with the hymn here in an empty church. I don't think Paul heard me either, for he's got the earphones on. But just to sing as well as listen, it helps those great truths to get into your heart. We welcome you in the Saviour's precious name as you join with us for our service here, our gospel meeting in Hebron Free Presbyterian Church. On Tuesday night, we'd like to remind you of the Youth Challenge link-up. Youth Challenge is the outreach children's work of our church, and we want to still keep in contact with the children. They're no longer able to come to church. They're not able to go to school. Most of them are confined to their homes, and so we want to be able to contact them every week through the Sunday school work and the Youth Challenge work. That's 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. Now, if children have not got to hear about this, will you please let them know and encourage them to tune in to our church's Facebook Tuesday night at 7. Thursday night is the midweek service at 8 o'clock. We come to study the scriptures together. Last Thursday, we commenced a little series on the Psalm 40. We'll come back to that, God willing, this Thursday. Friday night, the FPC Kids is at 7. The Youth Fellowship is at 8 o'clock, and that is by the Zoom link-up. Jonathan McCauley, one of our elders, and one of the youth workers will be speaking. Next large day, we are broadcasting again the Sabbath school and the Bible class at 11, and our worship service 12 noon, and our gospel meeting at 7, and I'll be here, God willing, to preach the word. We want to encourage you and help you in these days of the coronavirus. Some of you are lonely, we know that. You are benefiting from the phone calls that our elders and committee are making. We thank our office bearers for doing that. If there's anything that you need, please do not hesitate to contact us. Give us a ring. You can ring myself or any of the elders or committee or our brother Alejandro Bernabeu. We thank you for sending in your tithes and offerings and your missionary contributions. We acknowledge the gifts that were given, £100 to missionary work, and also to the Emergency Aid Fund. Found out today that there was a gift of £500 and another gift of £300. Can I thank you, not only in the Lord's great name, and chiefly we do that, but also on behalf of the many on the mission field that are benefiting from the help that we're giving in this time when they're in lockdown, not able to get food, not able to purchase food, because there's little money about, but we're helping them and helping these families just to survive. We continue to pray for the intervention of God on the basis of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. We continue to remember those who are on the frontline services involved in the National Health Service. We remember the sick of the congregation and any who are infected with COVID-19, and we continue to pray for the sorrowing. Pray also for the messages that go out every day. We're seeking for guidance. We're seeking for spiritual power. We're asking for the blessing of God to be upon these video casts and for results, that God will be glorified in what is done. And not just for the videos that I put out, but for all the ministry that the church is doing here on a weekly basis. Pray that God's voice will be heard. I hope that you will hear God's voice tonight, that God will speak to you through his word. And then we pray for the missionaries at home and abroad. We shared with you on Thursday night about a young girl over in Pakistan that received some help with medicine. We're able to send money to help this young girl. She's there on the left side of the slide, a little girl called Disha. I think she's about 14 years of age, and she needed urgently medication, and that has been given to her yesterday, and I got this photograph sent to me today. In another part of Pakistan, we were able to help families in need through another lady who had contacted us. And this is some slides from yesterday, and the children, the families who benefited from the little money that we sent so that they could have some food to eat yesterday. Over in Pakistan, and I think India, it is actually Mother's Day today. We had our Mother's Day back at the end of March, but it being Mother's Day, this lady bought just little sweets so that the children could give a sweet to their mother. And that brought a lot of tears, I am told, to the families, that such beautiful things were able to be received that they don't normally get. We had a special mission board prayer meeting this afternoon, and this was done by our link up on Zoom. And these were the mission board members that were able to join us for the prayer time. Now, you will see in part of the center of the slide our sister Margaret Russell. This prayer meeting was for her. Margaret is retiring from the mission field after 37 years of faithful service in the land of Kenya. So this weekend and the next few days are very special to her. They'll be very emotional to her. We know that because Margaret is saying farewell to the people that she's known for 37 years, to people really that have become her family. And so the mission board had a special time of prayer with her. Tomorrow she goes to Eldoret, where she will receive a test for the virus, just to make sure that she is clear of that virus before she travels. That will give her a certificate. Then on Wednesday she will travel to Nairobi, stay overnight, and on Thursday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning she will receive a flight, or get on a flight for London, and then over to Northern Ireland on the Thursday. Will you remember Margaret in prayer? We thank God for the immense work that was done, the great work over the years, the Sunday school work, the children's work, the help that she was to the churches there, the encouragement that she was to so many people, the ministry of the school there at the BCFC Academy. Only eternity will reveal the full extent of our sister's ministry in that land in 37 years. Thank God that many, many souls will meet her at the right hand of God on the great day when she gathers home, and she'll be able to say in a sense, these are the children that God has graciously given to me. Pray for her, please, as she says her farewells. Now we're going to sing another hymn, 402. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Saviour, makes me whole. The hymn 402.
It's a hymn of triumph. Let's stand to sing with all of our hearts.
Jesus,
Jesus, what a friend of sinners. He's the greatest friend of all. I enjoyed singing that hymn. Beautiful words. No matter what we're passing through, hallelujah, we can say, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Is it weakness tonight that's troubling you? Is it being tempted and tried and maybe sometimes failing, as the hymn writer speaks about here? Or maybe it's sorrow. Thank God we have such a friend in Christ that we can turn to. Good to see tonight those that are listening in from various parts. I'm encouraged to see Davy and Margaret listening in. He was in hospital last night, but we see there on Facebook that he's tuning into this service. And our sister Noreen too, from Uganda, listening with us. Welcome, Noreen, in the Saviour's name. Now we're turning in the Word of God to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read the last six verses of this chapter, from verse 13 to verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. May God bless this reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's unite in prayer. We thank thee tonight for Jesus, the friend of sinners. We thank thee that he's able to save to the uttermost. We thank thee that he's present with us tonight in this service. And he's been speaking already and been a blessing to our souls. Thank thee for your word, the infallible, inerrant, unchanging, unchangeable word of the living God. And we thank thee for this passage of great comfort. And Lord, as we come to the subject this evening about the grand and the glorious meeting that is going to take place one day, we pray that thou wilt thrill our hearts with such a prospect. And we pray that you will speak to sinners tonight and draw them to Christ, that they might prepare for this day that we've read about this evening in your word. We pray that thou wilt now quieten our hearts down in thy presence. Take away the distractions. Help us to be focused. Help us to listen to what God is saying. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Baptize me with new power. Give me, Lord, your help tonight, for vain is the help of man. I cast myself unreservedly upon thee tonight. O God, give me power in the proclamation of your word for Jesus' sake. Amen. And our subject tonight, as we announced this morning, a grand and glorious meeting day. And we will be looking at this from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the final six verses of the chapter. Friday, the 8th of May, marked the 75th anniversary of VE Day, Victory in Europe, marking the end of World War II. This day marked 75 years since the formal acceptance by Britain and its allies of Nazi Germany's unconditional surrender. Hitler was defeated, and our country was no longer under attack. It is estimated that some 75 million people died in the Second World War. Many of them, it was due to deliberate genocide, massacres, mass bombings, disease, and starvation. This was around 3% of the world's population at the time. Of the total number of deaths in World War II, approximately 85%, mostly Soviet and Chinese, were on the Allied side and 15% on the enemy side. Many deaths were caused by war crimes committed by German and Japanese forces in occupied territories. An estimated 11 to 17 million civilians died, either as a direct or indirect result of Nazi ideological policies, including the systematic genocide of around 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, and 5 to 6 million ethnic Poles, Roma people, and other minority groups. The German government, led by Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party, murdered these millions of people because they deemed they were unworthy of life. The coronavirus outbreak means that there were no street parties, parades, or concerts this year. I did see some people holding some garden family or garden parties with their family, and noticed some of that on the internet. Some of our own congregation included there. A national 2-minute silence took place on Friday morning at 11 o'clock, giving opportunity to pause and reflect and to remember the lives that were lost and the sacrifices that were made in wartime. The Queen addressed the nation from Windsor Castle at 9 p.m., at the same time that her father, King George VI, gave a radio address back in 1945. Vera Lynn, 103 years of age, led in the singing of "We'll Meet Again," which back in the wartime was a symbol of hope. Now, the song of Vera Lynn was a worldly song to bring encouragement in a dark day of war, bloodshed, mass murder, suffering, and death. "We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day." As I thought of this, I was reminded of another meeting day at a better time, in a better place, that will lead the true people of God to everlasting joy and blessedness. And I refer to the one that is outlined here in 1 Thessalonians and the chapter 4 and these concluding verses. It is a meeting in the sky on that blessed day when our Lord and Savior returns with power and glory. There's another song about this. There's going to be a meeting in the air. In the sweet, sweet by and by, I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare, and God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the air. Seeking to comfort the Thessalonian Christians, Paul draws their attention to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Our loved ones," he tells them, "who die in Christ fall asleep in Jesus." The picture of sleep is used by the apostle to describe the departure of the child of God. Christians call death sleep, but they emphasize the idea of rest. When a child of God came to die, yes, they fell asleep, but they were resting. Early Christians began to call their burial places cemeteries, which means dormitories or sleeping places. But the Bible never once describes the death of a non-converted person asleep, because it's not sleep for them. There is nothing peaceful, there is no rest, there is no comfort for them in the hour of death. They certainly do not fall asleep in this sense. There were many dear Christian men and women who fell asleep in the Lord Jesus back in the Second World War. And many of our friends and our family members have fallen asleep in Jesus. My mother and my father are in the glory land. I remember the days when they fell asleep in Jesus. Other family members and friends who knew the Savior, they're safely home in heaven because they too fell asleep in Jesus. Our thoughts are still with the Arnold family. For just a few weeks ago, their son Matthew, 24 years of age, in that tragic motorbike accident, was taken from this scene of time out into eternity. But praise God, he fell asleep in Jesus and he went to glory. Brother John Smith went to his eternal reward on Thursday, the elder from our Ballymena congregation. He fell asleep in Jesus. Coronavirus has taken other believers home to glory. And some of these believers we had prayed for when they were sick. But God, in his providence and in his mercy, he took them home to be with himself. Death has been in the world since the beginning of days. The first person to die was a believer, Abel by name, the son of our first parents, who departed this life trusting in the blood of the Lamb. That was the offering that Abel made. That was the acceptance that Abel found, pointing on down through the centuries of time to the Lamb of God, which would be crucified upon the cross to take away our sins. Death came as a result of sin. As in Adam, all die. It's the common lot of all mankind. When death comes to the home of a Christian, there is undoubtedly sorrow and heartbreak. And we know what it is to shed tears and mourn the passing of our loved ones. But the sorrow is different. And Paul is stating that very clearly in the passage that we've read together. In verse 13, he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We have hope in the hour of grief. And it is a certain hope. It's the hope of the gospel. For one thing, we know where our loved ones have gone. The dying Christ have gone to be with Christ. For another thing, we know that we shall see them again. When either we ourselves pass this life from this scene of time, or on the glad reunion day when we shall rise together in the meeting in the air. Therefore, in the midst of our tears and our sorrow, there is comfort. And Paul calls upon the church in the light of this gospel reality to console each other in the great and the unchangeable truths of the gospel. Verse 18, just there at the end of the chapter, having mentioned what he's mentioned in the previous five verses about the coming of the Lord and the gathering home of the people of God, the apostle says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We are to use these words of the coming of Christ, the meeting in the air, when we shall rise to meet the Lord at his coming, to bring encouragement and comfort and strength to our sorrowing hearts. Paul is saying to these Christians in the church at Thessalonica, your sorrow is different. Ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Your sorrow is not inconsolable grief. Your tears in the midst that you shed because loved ones are taken are not those hopeless tears. No, because of Christ there is a better day coming, and we shall meet again, and we shall be together again, never to part throughout the countless ages of eternity. And so I want to speak on this grand and glorious meeting day. And the first thing I want to say very simply is this. There is the recognition of this meeting. Look there at the end of verse 16 and the beginning of verse 17. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The dead in Christ and those who are alive and remain shall rise from this earth, shall indeed be caught up together. Paul is speaking about something remarkable, something that we should look forward to, something to cheer you in the midst of life's short journey. Something very powerful is going to happen one day soon. Jesus Christ shall descend from heaven at the sound of the last trump. The dead in Christ shall be awakened and be resurrected from their graves. Doesn't matter how decayed the old bodies have become, Christ will find every particle, every molecule, dust we are, and unto dust we shall return, but every speck of dust will come together in the resurrection. Our bodies will be formed again in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. And this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. And all the dead in Christ from around the globe, from every nation and kindred and people and tongue, will rise to life and be gloriously changed. You think of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52. And then all the living Christians who dwell on the face of the earth at that same moment will rise from their place, or should I say, will rise slightly after the dead are awakened and changed. For the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain. And together we shall be brought unto Christ. This is a blessed day when the graves of believers will empty, the tombstones will crumble, and death must give up her prey. And all who are found in Christ, whether they've been in the grave, maybe even there for centuries, or whether they are alive and remain, they will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The recognition of this meeting, I want to state it clearly tonight. But then secondly, there is the occasion of this meeting. When does it take place? It takes place at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should maybe read verse 16 there again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. The occasion upon which this meeting happens is when Jesus comes again. These verses declare that our Savior is coming. This meeting takes place when the believing dead, together with the believing living, rise together at the coming of the Savior. There is a day, a glorious day, which is yet to be. The day in which the Son of God will return. The Lord himself shall descend. Not another. He doesn't send an angel on this errand, though the angels will be greatly involved in the gathering together of the people of God from the four corners of the world. He doesn't send some high-ranking heavenly being like the cherubim or the seraphim or the elders or the living creatures around the throne. He doesn't send a great and illustrious hero of the faith. And you might think of Abraham. He was the father of the faithful, the father of the Hebrew nation. You might think of Moses, what a leader he was, one of the greatest leaders that Israel ever knew. Nor is he going to send David, the greatest king of Israel, nor any of the apostles in the New Testament Or John the Baptist, who was the greatest prophet, Jesus said, that was ever born of a woman. No, my friends, the Lord himself shall descend. And so descend from heaven. For that's where he's been since he ascended into glory almost 2,000 years ago. And he went there to prepare a place for us, for his believing church. He went there to be our mediator and our advocate at the right hand of the Father, where he continues his ministry in heaven, ever living to make intercession for us on earth. And as Jesus descends, there's a great noise and there's a great commotion. My friends, there's no such thing as a secret rapture. There's nothing secret about this event. It is a noisy affair. The Lord shouts. There is the voice of the archangel. The trumpet is sounding. And you can imagine the scene. All this disturbance and disruption. We know from the prophecy of Christ in Matthew 24 that the sun will be darkened and the moon shall withdraw its light and the stars of heaven will fall and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. It was revealed to John the Beloved when the sixth seal was opened in Revelation chapter 6 that there was a great earthquake and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair and the moon became as blood and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth and the heaven departed as a scroll and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And now is the time when the kings and the great men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and they began to cry to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Do you not see, my friends, commotion here? How the Lord Jesus Christ comes with wrath to the ungodly, how they weep and mourn and cry and are filled with dismay and consternation. But all this disturbance brings great joy to the believing church, for they rise to meet the Lord, to be with him forevermore. When Jesus comes, oh, he comes with a shout. The Greek word shout here means, or here is the same word that is used for the commands that a ship captain makes to his rowers, or a commander speaking to his soldiers. There's a ring of authority here. There's also the voice of the archangel. This might be Michael. He's the only one described in the Bible as an archangel in Jude chapter verse 9. And then there's the trump of God. In the Old Testament, trumpets sounded the alarm for war and threw the enemy into panic. Oh, there's going to be great panic when Jesus comes again. Great panic and consternation among the hearts and the lives of those who know not the Lord. You think of the sound of the trumpet, or the sound of the seven trumpets in the book of Revelation, when the seventh one is sounded, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And then trumpets were also sounded in the Old Testament to assemble the people of God. We think of Leviticus 23 and 24. We think of Numbers chapter 10 and verse 2. And here the trump of God is sounded at our Lord's second coming to awaken the dead and to call his blood-bought, blood-washed people together. Oh, my friends, Jesus is coming again to gather his people unto himself. The occasion of this meeting is when he comes to the earth. Then I want you to notice, thirdly, the consolation of this meeting. And the consolation is there at the end of verse 17 in this little phrase. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a blessed comfort and consolation this is. We shall be with Christ forever, and of course with one another. Where the head is, the body will be. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes, praise God, we're going to be with him forever. And who is the we? The we, of course, is the believing church. We will be together, brethren and sisters, forevermore. This is the great reward, to be with Christ. This is to be with him in excellent glory, joy, and bliss. Never to be parted, never to be separated anymore. There is a wonderful sense in which we are with Jesus now, here upon the earth, while we live. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The day in which we were saved, we were united to Jesus Christ and to each other in the mystical body of Christ in an indissoluble union. And so right now we are with Christ. Our spirits enjoy sweet fellowship and communion with him. And there are times, perhaps more than others, when we feel his nearness and we draw, as it were, right up to the Lord, and we know his presence. So there is a sense right now we are with the Lord. And then, of course, when we die, we are with the Lord in a greater sense, because our souls at the point of death leave our bodies, the earthly tabernacle, and they go to be with Christ in glory in heaven itself. Absent from the body, the Apostle Paul says in God's word, to be present with the Lord, to be with Jesus forevermore. Our souls rise to the heights of celestial bliss into the immediate presence of Christ. Oh, the body goes into the grave to sleep there and to await the resurrection day, which will come by and by when Jesus comes again. But at that moment of death, the soul goes to be with the Lord. What Paul refers to here in this passage of Scripture is to be ever with the Lord. And that means to be ever with the Lord in the fullest, highest, and most excellent sense. It's win-win. Win-win-win all the way for the child of God. We are with Christ now, united to him. We will be with Christ at the point of death when the soul goes to be with him. And we shall be with Christ at his return, and to be with him forever, the Bible tells us. This is our future confidence. The great preacher Spurgeon said, "We shall be so with him as to have no sin to becloud our view of him. The understanding will be delivered from all the injury which sin has wrought in us, and we shall know him even as we are known." Here is the consolation of that meeting in the sky. We will be with the Lord forevermore, never, never to be parted again. I have one final thought, and it is this: the qualification of this meeting, or for this meeting, you might say. Look at verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now you want to mark the phrases, not just in this verse, but in this passage of Scripture, which indicate who will assemble on this day. Who will gather together on this occasion? Who are qualified to go out to meet the Lord and to be with him forevermore? Well, first of all, what we've read here in verse 14, those who believe. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And then we mark the other phrases, those which sleep in Jesus and the dead in Christ, and we which are alive and remain, evidently pointing to believers who are still alive when Jesus comes again. Not everyone rises for this joyful meeting. You want to know that and mark it. Only the saved of God will rise. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Because here's the heart of the gospel, the death and the resurrection of God's dear Son. I'm not asking you this evening if you have an intellectual belief in these things. I'm not asking you if you consent to the historical, biblical accounts of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. I'm not asking you if you acknowledge these facts. When the Bible speaks about those who believe, who truly believe, it is to the saving of the soul. It is with reference to those who have placed their trust in Christ, in what he came to do as the Redeemer. It is leaning solely and completely upon a Savior who was crucified for our sins and who rose triumphantly over death. It's not an intellectual consent of the mind. The devils believe and they tremble, the Bible says. Satan and the host of hell, they believe that Jesus died and rose again. They believe in the crucifixion and the resurrection. They were about in that time. They saw it for themselves. Of course they believe. But it is a belief that is just knowledge. It's just intellectual. It's just believing in facts. That's not what we're talking about here, my friends. Those who rise to meet the Lord when he comes again possess saving faith, a belief in Jesus Christ that has saved them from sin. If they are in the grave when Jesus comes, they are the dead in Christ, which sleep in Jesus. And this can only refer to those that were put into Christ while they lived on the earth. The only way that you can be put into Christ is by salvation. And the only time that you can receive salvation is in this life. Now is the day of salvation, the Bible reminds us. There's no salvation beyond the grave. There's no being put into Christ beyond death. There's no sleeping in Jesus whenever you die without him. If you are alive when Jesus comes and you are a believer, then, says Paul, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. This is who is qualified for this meeting. Those that believe that Jesus died and rose again to the saving of their souls. Those, my dear friends, who are dead in Christ, those that sleep in Jesus, and those believers who are alive when he comes again, they'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I want to ask you, and ask you very sincerely at the close of our meeting tonight, are you qualified for this meeting? Will you rise to meet the Lord on this joyful occasion, at this joyful meeting in the sky? Have you believed to the saving of your soul? Are you trusting in the finished work of a risen Savior? Are you in Christ? For my friends, there's nothing more important than that. And if you're not, you need to settle that matter. And you need to settle it now before it is forever too late. Oh, what a grand and glorious meeting that is yet to be. Will you be part of it? Do you know the Saviour? Do you believe in his death, that his death was for you, and that he rose victoriously for you? And because he lives, you will live also. Have you been put into Christ? That's the important thing. Oh, turn tonight while the Saviour in mercy is pleading. And steer for the harbour light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? You need Christ. You need to come to him. Let us pray. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, those of us that are found in the Lord, we believe. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. We believe that he went to the cross and there at Calvary paid the price for our sin, took our place, endured our punishment, bore our sin, descended into the very depths of hell for us. We believe that Jesus died. He died for me. We believe that he rose again victoriously over death. And because he lives, we're going to live also. One day the Lord himself will descend from heaven. And we look forward to that day when we shall go out to meet the Lord at his return. Lord, bless your word. There are some listening in tonight and they don't believe these things in their heart. It's only a head knowledge perhaps that they have. Some of them are sitting at home now, and as far as their belief is concerned, it's no better than the devils. The devils who believe and tremble. The devils, they have this intellectual knowledge of Jesus and who he is and what he came to do. They have this intellectual knowledge of his crucifixion and resurrection. But we know that they're not saved. And Lord, there are those that are just like the devils. And in their head, they give consent to the crucifixion of Christ at Calvary and to the resurrection of Christ from the tomb. But still they're not saved. Oh Lord, we pray that that knowledge will get into the heart. And that from the heart, as the Bible says, they will believe. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Bring men and women and young people to that trust and faith in the Lord Jesus this very hour. May they trust thee. May they turn from their sin, believe the gospel. Lord, may they get saved. Right now, in their homes, may they call upon the name of the Lord for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Again, thank you for being part of this service tonight. The meeting is over, but the work goes on. The voice of the preacher is silent, but the Holy Spirit works on. My friend, if you're troubled, you can be saved just where you are. As I said to you these nights, you just need to get down before the Lord and pray for forgiveness of sin. Lord, forgive me for my sin. I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again for me. I believe he went to the cross for me. Bore my sin there. Lord, I accept that. I trust in that tonight. Take me, a sinner, condemned and unclean. Make me your child. And he will. May you turn to Jesus Christ right now for Jesus' sake. Amen.